Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think that's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow.
Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No. We're going to teabag fight.
Yeah. You heard of Junkyard Wars?
No. Can I get another high five, Beavis?
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good afternoon, everybody. What a great time to be out in Fairfield at Heretic Brewing Company. And we're live for the first AHA rally at Heretic.
Yeah.
Which is fun. A lot of homebrewers are coming out here today.
Oh, there's a ton of people. And, the line is giant outside.
Oh, there's still a line outside?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're already drinking inside, so... Sorry
well,
about
9
that.
O'clock comes early.
Yes, it right. does. It's exciting to be here. This is my first AHA rally, too. I've never been to one of these.
Yeah.
And the American Homebrewers Association invited us to come out and do our shtick here for a little while, which usually I say no to.
Right.
But when I found out that Gary Glass was also going to be here, I thought, well, you know what? If that little bald bastard's coming out from Colorado, I can drive up from Martinez.
Right. Well, they're clearly not listeners.
No.
The AHA clearly has no idea what we do. Gary brought his father.
Oh, really?
He brought his pops.
I'm sorry I called your son a bald bastard, Mr. Glass.
I think he's at the bar, so he can't hear us.
As he should be.
Right.
Well, we've got some things to do today. This is our normal session show. We're just doing it from a warehouse. A brewery today. Not a warehouse. A brewery.
There you go. There you go.
Today. So it's good to be here. And we're going to do some beer tasting with you all today. We're going to interview Gary Glass, the president of the Homebrewers Association. If you don't know him, you should meet him. He's a nice guy. He's handsome.
He's handsome.
We're going to talk to Jamil Zanishev, the proprietor of Heretic Brewing Company, of course. And, you know, he runs his own show on the Brewing Network.
Two shows, even.
Two shows, that's right. And he still does that, which surprises me, because he's a busy guy, and he doesn't really need me anymore. Well, he did in the beginning, I feel like, but now, now I'm just, I think he's just super nice and doesn't want to abandon me because he feels like I'll fail.
I wonder if the pay is better on the BN than it is at Heretic.
I think that's possible.
I mean, it might be true, right?
Yeah. The BN doesn't put him into debt.
No.
That's for sure.
These are the hard-hitting questions that we're going to get to the bottom of.
That's right.
Right.
John Palmer's running around here today, so we'll interview John Palmer, too. And if you guys have questions, you can come on up and talk to us. We'll get your questions answered by the guys. So we got a lot to do today. I brought some homebrew. Yeah, I brought homebrew, which...
That you made.
That I made. I never have homebrew.
Right.
But I do now.
What is it?
It's a Schwartz beer that I did for the Brewcaster Challenge.
Oh, that's weird.
And I lost the challenge. My beer lost to Nathan Smith.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
Well, and what happens is when we do the Brewcaster Challenge, if you don't know what it is, it's us people on the Brewing Network competing against each other in a best-of-show style homebrew competition. And we have to brew the same style of beer, and we can do our own recipe. And by our own recipe, I mean I always brew a recipe that Jamil makes.
Right.
And then we vote. And what happens is when it comes voting day, when my beer is in the competition, nobody shows up to vote. Like, Doc doesn't want to come. I can't come. I'm busy today. Jamil tells me, I can show up any Monday. You just let me know. I'll be there. And so I call him, Jamil, it's Monday, and we're tasting my Schwartz beer today. I'm busy.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
So I lost by one vote.
Yeah.
And maybe if they had shown up, I could have beat Nate.
Well, I will say that it's the only time I will have or will ever vote for you.
Yeah. Did you do it because, was it like, were you being nice or did you really vote for my beer?
It was
like,
both. They're not mutually exclusive. No, I really honestly voted for your beer.
Okay.
Nate's beer had a funky nose to me.
Okay.
And yours smelled a lot cleaner, a lot more to the style than his did.
I think have I told you how handsome you are lately, JP?
Not enough.
You're a good looking man.
At least not in public.
You're a very good looking man.
Those text messages are a little weird, so I don't respond to them.
I'm really glad that you haven't died.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
JP so said it. It wasn't even close, right? You said it was a runaway in your mind. At the time, you did say that.
Yeah, I did, yeah. It was,
is it
I don't
getting
know if it was a runaway,
looking?
But...
He is getting better looking as we go.
It was the most amazing beer I've ever had in my life.
There you go.
Well, yeah. So I brought it to share today. I didn't bring a lot of it, but when Jamil gets up here, I'm going to make him taste it.
Yeah, I think you should.
It's his recipe.
Yeah.
And so we're going to taste it. I brought a little bit. And I asked Nate to bring his, too.
There you go. That's what you need is the Jamil, the side-by-side.
Yeah.
Ex post facto.
Well, so I asked Nate yesterday. By the way, we just did this last week. Nate said, oh, mine's all gone. Like everybody in the world showed up to drink Nate's beer.
It was good. It was the winning beer.
I have 100 gallons at home because nobody wants to drink it. I gave it to my friend the other night. He's like, oh. Mm-hmm.
That's, do you have any water? I could use some water.
You know that? Has anybody else get that response? Like it's a guy or girl that doesn't really drink homebrew and you're really proud of this homebrew and you give him a glass. You think this is going to be the one that turns him. Like, I know you don't really like crap beer, but, you know, just try this. And you give it to him and, you know, the nice ones, they just go, oh, uh-huh. And that's it.
I love what you've done with the walls in here.
Doesn't the word interesting come up?
That's
interesting.
It's interesting.
It's usually when it's something you're really proud of, too. Like, this is a beer that I've been saving. I opened it. Because it's a special beer night with you and me, friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, yeah. So hey, look, I got a thing, and then
I'm
gone.
Busy.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
I just take it. I just give me that and get out too. I'll drink your Bud Light. I don't care.
Right.
So I brought it, and at least one of you has to try it out there, despite this rundown.
I think everyone's shaking their head simultaneously.
They're all like, we have to go also.
We're busy.
I know the rally just started, but we're leaving.
We're leaving. You are a good salesman. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
You sell it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so we'll do a little bit of homebrew tasting today. I think Nathan Smith did bring a version of his, like some, he did eight versions of his Schwartz beer, and he brought us something. He did one with, like, instead of using a lager yeast, he used, like, Cal Ale.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
So I think he brought that version. It's, you know, interesting to try. I'm glad he had a lot of time to, you know, brew seven versions to compete against my one. But all right, so those are some things that we're going to do. I do have some announcements. Since this is our normal show, we have listeners not just in the room, so we'll do some of our normal things to let everybody know what's happening. The Brewing Network anniversary party, the 9th anniversary party. How many people in here, just by show of hands, are anybody going to the National Homebrewers Conference in Michigan this year? We got one over there.
One person.
One guy. Oh.
You guys are missing out.
You should get the National Homebrewers Conference is always a good time. Next, am I allowed to say where it is next year yet? I have to ask Gary Glass if I'm allowed to do that. If you're not going this year, you should go next year. I'll find out if I can tell you where that is. It's close. That's it. There's a hint. Close-ish.
It's within 3,000 miles of here.
It's close-ish. Anyway, every year at the National Homebrewers Conference, we're the kickoff party to the whole event with our anniversary party. We throw a big bash, and it's basically a craft beer festival with our shenanigans mixed in the middle of it. And this year, we rented out the minor league baseball park of the West Michigan Snowcaps.
I follow them, actually, on Instagram.
Great team.
Yeah.
I went out there to visit the site the other day and watched them play.
Are they good?
Did some good games. You know, you get on the field, you smack them on the ass.
Were you a bat boy for the game? That would be rad.
I asked. They wouldn't let me do that, but they did let me on the field, and, you know, they were warming up, and so I did a little...
You know, good game?
Go get them, Tiger.
Nice.
You know.
Did they?
I know I left.
Shit.
But we're renting out the entire baseball park. They're going to give us the run of the field. We're going to have events down on the field. There's different VIP areas and food areas. It's all the food you can eat, mm-hmm. all the beer you can drink from over 25 breweries.
That's dangerous.
And tickets are going on sale to our members tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
By the time you listen to the podcast version of this event, that will be over.
Right.
And then the general sale will go on because that happens Tuesday. So everybody can buy tickets, but there's room for everybody. I think we can fit 10,000 people.
I think we should.
We'll get close to that.
Let's try it.
I think we'll get close to like 1,000 people. But it's going to be a good time. Am I selling it well again?
You're a good salesman.
It's going to be a good time. And so that's tickets on sale. You go to thebrewingnetwork.com/BNA9.
Oh,
listeners.
Wow. Okay,
thebrewingnetwork.com/BNA9. By the time you're listening to this show on the podcast, the tickets will be available to you. And it's $50 for all you can eat and all you can drink.
That's amazing.
That's a pretty good deal, right?
That is rad. Yeah.
Like when you go to festivals around here, it's like $50 just for drinking.
Just to get in. And then you get like 4 drink tickets.
And then you buy food after that.
And then a bad blues band.
But we
usually.
We are going to have the bad blues band.
Not a bad one. Ours will be great.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's the Midwest.
They know a lot about the blues, man.
All right, here's an announcement for the locals then. How about that? The Brewing Network is opening a tap house and bottle shop in Concord, California, and that's happening at the end of May. It's called the Hop Grenade. There's some information for you right here. So we're hard at work on that, and you can come watch the show live and drink beer there, which is fun. I think. All right, you can support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage. Subscribe and join the BN Army. That's how you get first access to all our events. All this information and more over on Twitter and Facebook. Send your show ideas over to this man right there. That's our producer, Scott the Jew. And you send it to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
That's right.
I brought feedback today. It's always a fun part of the show for us.
Wow, on printed on paper.
Yeah.
How ungreen of you.
Old school. Yeah, no computers at Heretic. I don't know. I'm surprised they have electricity sometimes. All right, feedback is brought to you today by the good folks over at Adventures in Homebrewing. And they're good people. They've been sponsors for a long time. And you can get your homebrew ingredients over at Adventures in Homebrewing. So Patrick from San Luis Obispo, California, wrote in. And he wants to know if anyone's seen the Noah movie to confirm whether or not Noah is a wino. You might remember. We're going to talk legislation with Gary Glass today. And you might remember in Alabama, there was a legislator who was convinced that Noah was a wino.
Good old Alvin, Mr. Holmes.
Yeah. So, no, I haven't seen the movie.
No. I've heard it's boring. But Noah was a wino. I mean, if Alvin said it, it's true.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
It's on record, actually.
All right, Ayla writes in, "Hi, Justin and the rest of the BN crew. I just want to say you rock and all that good stuff. I've been listening to this session for about 6 months now, and I listen to your podcast almost every day at my extremely monotonous job. And I know you must get a lot of emails like this, but this one is special because I'm a girl."
Nice.
Ayla, love you, baby.
That makes, I believe we have 3 female fans now. I've been doing this for 9 years.
Are you including Taryn and Kate? Because I think that's 4 then, because Alexa and Ayla, so
not
that's
a fan.
4.
Oh.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right, 3.
Yeah.
So this is exciting. We have a new female fan.
Nice.
I'm not just a wife who listens, by the way, because her husband does. I actually found you searching through podcasts one day and been a fan ever since.
Nice.
I even find your crude jokes funny. I just figured out I would point out that you ass clowns do have some female support. So thanks for all that you do.
Whoever she's with is a lucky man that his woman has that kind of sense of humor or lack thereof.
Yeah. She also says, P.S., please don't ever get rid of Doc.
I think Doc will get rid of Doc before we get rid of Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, Clark in the Dark writes in, "Hey guys, I just thought about a possible way for you guys to make money for your Australia trip." Mm. That's right, we got invited to the Australian National Homebrewers Conference.
Yeah.
We're raising money to get more of us there. He says to maximize our FaceTime with listeners while we're at the National Homebrewers Conference. "I personally would pay good money to throw a baseball at a dunk table and watch JP's gimp ass soak in the vat of water laced with West Coast IPA."
I would too.
Great.
That was an elaborate fantasy this man has about you.
Very specific.
Yeah.
You guys can fill in the details, but the possibilities are endless. I do think this listener's on to something.
I think he is, too.
While we're at BNA9, we will have on-field activities, and we're at the conference the whole time. I feel like doing stupid things to us at our booth is a great way to raise money.
I think we have to. I think there should be a paintball shooting booth.
Yeah. Pin the tail on JP.
Right.
Actual pins.
Yeah. Put the wiener back in the dildo mold. It'd be great.
There's a lot of games. $5 a pop.
Right.
And we might make some good cash.
We might make $20.
What if? How much do you think we would make if I shaved my head? That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
Yeah, like a cakewalk where people just they sponsor you to shave your head.
No, just someone comes up and pays a bunch of money to shave my head.
Just one person? Because if we crowdfunded it, we might approach $1,000.
Wow. The thing is, I already have a ticket to Australia, so am I willing to shave my head for you schleps to get there is the question.
Good question.
I already know the answer.
I'll think about it. Anyway, thanks for the idea, Clark. We'll come up with some ideas to raise money there. Patrick writes in that, hey, I was listening to the Brewcaster Challenge where you were talking about temperature control, and I wanted to clarify what you're saying so I can better understand. This might be a question for Jamil if he's around.
It is.
All right. I'll save it for when Jamil gets over here because it's about temperature control and where we should put the temperature probe, whether it has to go right down into the wort, like through a probe.
Thermal well, thank you.
Or if it can be taped to the outside. And he wanted clarification about what Jamil thinks is the right way to do it. I'm pretty sure if I remember right, Jamil is a big fan of the well, that it needs to be down in the center of the wort to get an accurate reading of your homebrew temperature.
Absolutely.
The way I've done it in the past before I had a thermal well is if I brew 10 gallons, so I have two carboys, and I'm going to stick it on the side of one, I also then wedge it in between the other carboy. So it's kind of getting both sides, right?
That was
as close as I could get to in the wort.
That's the best. If that's all you can do, then that's all you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can answer this for you, Patrick. He wants to know what's the most accurate, and the most accurate would be a thermowell.
Thermowell.
Right into the center.
Absolutely.
Yeah, common sense would suggest that, right? Like if you test the chemicals in your pool, you take the reading from a foot down. And
you do? You don't just reach, you just do the top?
Yeah, or tape it to the side of your pool. No, you got to go in the liquid and in the center.
Yeah. I know when I test my pool.
Yeah. Your bath water?
Yeah.
You dip your arm in it. All right.
I'm all about the analogies.
What does this one say? Hey, Justin, I've been an avid podcast listener for a little over a year, and I am a monthly contributor.
Thanks.
Thank you for that. I wanted to echo what some other listeners have said about the Brewcaster Challenge and that it's made some damn excellent shows lately. I always enjoy the show, but added homebrewing-specific content has been great, so keep that up. I think we will keep it up. We've got another challenge that we're going to work on today.
That's right.
Tasty and JP are going to announce their Rausch beer recipes for the winning round of the Brewcaster Challenge.
Right.
It's a fairly complex tournament. I mean, we are working our way towards a winner, and it's going to take a while. So you got more shows coming up.
I am not one of the winners, but
no,
I will
not.
Be. I wonder who I'm going to root for. I wonder who I want to win.
You
voted for me, JP. I might
I
be rooting for you.
Well, I think you should vote or root for me. Are we going to do like a King Loser competition where all the losers brew against each other again?
No.
And you'll be King of the Losers?
I'm already... no. Who needs to do that?
That's true.
Again.
Yeah.
Here's a note for you in the same email, though, Moscow. On another note, I noticed there was a period of time when you would post videos on YouTube for the post-session commentary. I don't know where they went, but I enjoyed the shit out of them, Bragheim says.
Okay, duly noted. They went the way of the dodo because I was like asking the same questions every week, and Bevo was not getting better looking. But I can go back to it.
Was she getting worse looking?
Well,
a video camera is not a time machine. I'll tell you that.
Does anybody know what it means anymore to go the way of the dodo?
Yeah. Yes, everybody knows what it means.
Dodos are extinct.
Exactly.
Who says that? Dennis writes in, listen to the Gordon... this one was interesting. I guess Gordon Strong was recently on Brewing with Style talking about, beer styles and judging. BJCP judging. I didn't personally hear the show, but this feedback came in about it. I just listened to the Gordon Strong Brewing with Style. Perhaps Gordon should focus on training judges rather than insulting judges. He may be a beer expert, but he came off as a pompous ass, was the feedback. I'll have to ask Jamil about that.
Yeah.
I do know that Gordon Strong is one hell of a BJCP judge. I believe he's the president or director of the BJCP, whatever it's called.
President, yeah.
So
maybe he's earned his pompitude.
Well, I do believe he's at least earned the right to criticize judges if they're not doing their job correctly.
Right, because he's it seems like he's taking steps to correct that.
Yeah.
And so if you're actively involved in the organization in which you're criticizing, I think that's okay.
Exactly. Like if you have criticism, then you better have better ideas to back it up.
Right.
Yeah. Like JP, you should be funnier.
Oh.
See, I'm in the organization.
Right, but you don't have better ideas.
Exactly. You got to come up with something better than his joke.
Oh, I thought I could just be actively involved.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got to...
Yeah.
All right.
We'll figure this out.
I'll get it down.
All right,
Mike from New Hampshire writes in that I just want to thank you. I want to thank you guys for my recent accomplishments. Last Saturday, I entered a local non-BJCP competition. I ended up winning first place in the category. The People's Choice and Best of Show.
Wow.
Nice job. Yeah.
That's good.
He says, sorry, JP, it was a West Coast IPA.
Well, we can't all be perfect, Mike.
He said what it wasn't, but not what it was?
Right.
Good man.
By the way, he only brews extract.
Wow.
It was
best
all,
show with
best
extract.
It was all extract beer that won those awards. So those of you just getting started brewing, if you're brewing extract, there's hope.
Right.
Okay, Ted from Honolulu. Aloha, BN. When killing time cleaning up the kitchen, I decided to watch the Perfect Pale Ale video. That's a video we did with Matt Brinelson. Teaches you how to brew the Perfect Pale Ale. It's available online. I forgot how much I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be a whole series of videos, though. Where did they go? We still plan to do a whole series. In fact, we have a Gordon Biersch. Dan Gordon came in and taught us how to brew a Pilsner, and we will be releasing that as soon as our 25 other projects have fallen off the list, like opening a bar and things like that. Well, so don't worry, I do have more videos for you coming up.
Have you ever forgotten how good something is that you watched recently? I don't think I've ever, like, looking through my DVD collection, I've never gone, you know what, that wasn't very good, I don't think, but let me rewatch it to find out, oh, I'm surprised it's really great.
Oh, it was good. Yeah,
no,
I guess not.
I was starting to think Groundhog Day sucked, and then I watched it and remembered that's the best movie
I forgot how good it was.
All right, and the last piece of feedback I have here is about an article, I guess, that showed up in Esquire magazine. And it's about Jim Cook. You know the guy on the TV with the Sam Adams, that guy?
Yeah. Sniffing the hops and grain?
Yeah, and he basically, I guess, Jim Cook claims that he never gets drunk because before every beer, he takes a swig of yeast.
I think it's a teaspoon of dry yeast.
Get out of here. He said that?
A teaspoon of dry yeast.
Mixed in yogurt.
Before every beer, and then he never gets drunk. Now, a couple of things here. The first thing is I've been with Jim Cook. Not in the biblical sense.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad we were all on the same page.
Because he's never drunk.
Right.
I've been with... I've been at events with Jim Cook.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever seen Jim Cook sober. So the first thing is that I don't know. Maybe he hasn't taken the teaspoon when I've seen him at events.
Maybe it's a relatively recent...
But doesn't it also just not make sense?
It makes no sense.
Are there non-beer people on Earth reading Esquire magazine that are now going to go out to this grocery store and they're going to buy, like, baker's yeast, and they're going to go to the party and they're going to tell all their friends, hey, guys, check this out. If we all take a tablespoon of yeast before we chug the next beer, we're not going to get drunk.
Right. And then everyone goes, don't tell the hot chick. Seriously.
Yeah. And then the only person at the party who's not drunk is the hot chick. And they're all just hammered.
It doesn't make sense because in the article, it sort of kind of explains what happens. And to me, it sounds like the yeast metabolizes the alcohol. But that doesn't make any sense. Because
it doesn't make any sense.
Then we would have no beer. It would be non-alcoholic beer,
it would
right?
take a long time, too, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
It just doesn't make sense.
Maybe Jim was drunk when he said that. I tell you what, on the moon, whenever I drink, I never get drunk.
That's right.
So no more questions.
I can fly my spaceship home and to Mars. It's fine.
I will say I'm willing to test the theory, though.
So am I.
Even
sure.
though I think it's ridiculous, I will be your guinea pig.
Yeah.
And maybe at BNA9, I'll do some yeast every.
Do some yeast with every beer
I drink.
Yeah.
Which is, let's face it, that's going to be a lot of yeast. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jamil Zanishev, and if I can find him, we'll get John Palmer up here. And we're going to taste my damn Schwartz beer.
Yeah.
Which I think might be good.
I've already tasted it, though. I have to taste it again?
Yeah,
I mean, I get
no,
to
no,
taste
you guys
it again.
Are going to have to taste it. Okay, I don't want your
thank God.
Anymore.
I mean, too bad.
All right, it's The Session live from Heretic Brewing Company in Fairfield, California at the AHA Rally, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey guys, Justin here, and I want to let you know about a brand new product coming on the market with your help called the Brewometer. which is a wireless hydrometer and thermometer. And it's an amazing product that is on Kickstarter right now. So it needs your support. And I think when you see it, you're going to want to support it. Basically, it's a small device that floats right in your brew so that you don't need to open your fermenter. Or if you're like me and you want to save every last ounce of that beer, you don't need to pour any of your beer out in order to get a sample for a traditional hydrometer. The brewometer just goes right in there. You don't have to open up your carboy or your fermenter at all. And it's an entirely new principle to measure specific gravity. Basically, the little device kind of floats at an angle, and then depending on the angle that it's floating in there, it sends that information via Bluetooth to your iOS or Android device. Not just your specific gravity, but also the temperature of your beer. So it'll actually create a whole outline of how your beer is doing. Never have to open your fermenter again until it's done and ready to transfer to another vessel. You can back the Brewometer project on Kickstarter and get one yourself. So go to Kickstarter.com right now and search Brewometer. See the progress of your beer on the web and share the data with your friends. It's awesome. Go check it out.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. New items include the Big Oxygen Kit for economical wort aeration using common welding oxygen tanks, and the Unistat line of external thermostats for easy control of both electric heaters and refrigerators. In addition, they've just mashed their new oatmeal stout malt extract, so you can make those tasty winter oatmeal stouts and porters without mashing. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch
Do
out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Hey guys, JP here. On the show, you've heard us talk about the importance of using the right malts and the freshest ingredients possible for certain styles of beer. As a BJCP judge, I am always impressed when brewers make European beer styles and choose the proper base malts, which is something that really comes through in the finished product. BSG supplies your local shop with premium malt from maltsters like Weirmann, Rahr, and Crisp. These malts are the real deal for the most authentic beer possible.
BSG, Brewer Supply Group, is the source for quality malts. Crisp, Simpsons, and Patagonia are more of the amazing maltsters BSG brings to you. From pilsners to porters, use the right malts for every style of beer with malt from BSG. BSG, quality malt for a quality beer.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, more beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
And now back to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the program, and thanks for hanging out with us. We're still live here, of course, from Heretic Brewing Company in Fairfield, California, and I've got the man himself, Jamel Zanishev, sitting with us here right now.
Hey, brother.
Brewmaster, proprietor, ex-homebrewer extraordinaire.
Janitor.
I made you homebrew last year, though, so you're still technically a homebrewer, I think.
That's...
No, yep. No. You used professional work, didn't you?
No. I used the extract cans, the pre-hopped extract cans.
Oh, that's still homebrewing.
But I did it here.
Oh,
which,
in the building.
Which makes it commercial.
Oh,
right.
Did you report that volume to the TTB?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did. Okay, good. Just looking out for you. All right, just a couple things to announce, real quick. And that is, I was talking about the National Homebrewers Conference next year. And whether or not I could say where it is. And
yeah.
Gary told me I'm allowed to say it. Because So many of you aren't going to this year's conference, I thought I should let you know. It's in San Diego next year.
Woohoo!
And awesome. Diego.
And you should go. It's been in San Diego before, and it's always an awesome time.
Is it at that same spot?
It's at the Town and Country down there.
Yeah.
It'll be our 10th anniversary party, Jamel.
Ooh. Oh.
We will have been around for 10 years.
Damn.
And
we'll be old.
We're going to go nuts. I hope my goal is that one of us dies at that party. That's how good of a party I plan on it being.
Add that to the pool.
Yeah.
Who's on top right now? Who's on the death pool? I think it's Tasty still, right?
Tasty's still very much at the top of the death pool list. It was you for a while, JP,
right.
But you've had a full recovery.
Yeah, surgery can kill what I had. Old age, you still...
It's still... Just, right.
Yeah. So is it like the Farewell Tasty tour?
Farewell Tasty BNA 10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Let's kill Tasty at 10.
And if he doesn't die, we just kill him anyway.
He's like, I know Tasty, too. He's fine with it. He'll be like, just take me out with a bang.
You know, it would be
literally
if you could,
bang.
If you could schedule it so it'd be a happen on Candida Avenue there.
It might happen that way. John Palmer's also sitting with us today. You know him from the book How to Brew, and also he is the star of Brew Strong.
Well, co-star.
Well, I feel like...
Damn, did I just get thrown under the bus?
No.
Well,
maybe the short bus.
One of you is smart, and one of you is handsome.
Okay.
And one of you happened to be John.
And one of you is Jamel.
Yeah. Yeah, one of you owns a brewery.
Yeah,
my wife's never called me handsome before.
Right. All right. So we're here at Heretic, and the beer that's in front of you right now, Jamel, it's your recipe. Sort of. It's sort of your recipe. This is the beer that I brewed. It's a Schwartz beer, and I took it from your article that you had in BYO Magazine, I think it was. Or was it in Zymergy? I forget which magazine the article
BYO.
Was in. BYO Magazine. I chose the rest. You had two articles in the magazine, and one was closer to a traditional Kolstritzer, like the standard for Schwartz beer. And the other one was like a more robust version of it.
Mm-hmm.
You had indicated that one tends to do really well in competitions.
Right.
Judges tend
it's
to like it.
A little
it.
More roasty.
Mm-hmm. So I chose that one. The only alteration really being that I could not find Hallertau hops, mm-hmm. which is what it called for throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot what I ended up using.
I thought Mount Hood. For some reason. Oh, no, you wanted to use Mount Hood, but you weren't sure.
I suggested Mount Hood.
You used something
text else.
I forget now. I think it was
one
of the newer hops.
No, no, because I
used like Simcoe or when do you
use it? Yeah, Magnum.
It was either Mount Hood or Northern Brewer.
I feel it was Northern Brewer because I remember you mentioning Mount Hood, but then you're like, I don't know, so I'm not going to do that.
Anyhow, it was still something. It was a suitable substitute, but it was not Hallertau. I'm just saying that's really the only alteration I made other than, you know, whatever I screwed up on Brew Day. So I lost to Nathan Smith by one vote, and you're now, you guys have the beer in front of you. And as always, I'm not one of these homebrewers that you can't tell me what you think, as long as what you think is good.
Well, after your comments on the star of Brew Strong, I would say the recipe is brilliant.
Oh,
The implementation is not so great.
Did I mess it up?
No, there's one or two things that I think cause you to lose.
Okay,
I actually think the recipe is solid. It's a little roasty, but not overly roasty for the style. That's what I was saying.
Really?
Do you think it's overly roasty?
I was worried that it was overly roasty, and not by the recipe, Frank. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I just felt that maybe, I didn't know if I measured it wrong or something, but literally the whole way through I was tasting it through fermentation. Mm-hmm. My biggest concern was that it was too roasty.
What do you think at the end?
I still think it's slightly too roasty.
Has the roast dropped out since you've been tasting it during fermentation?
A little bit.
All right.
You know what changed it a lot, to be honest with you, is just carbonating it.
Uh-huh.
When I tasted it flat and it didn't have that the carbonic acid to kind of cut through it, I felt it was really roasty. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got it, you know, to the proper carbonation, it definitely got better.
There's there's the microfine bits of highly kiln malts. When you mill them, they explode into these really dusty microfine powders, and they stay in suspension. And when a beer is young, you'll taste those, and they'll seem roastier and sharper than it is, and then they'll drop out. It's actually
okay,
and head retention will improve, things like that. I think the recipe's fine. I think, you know, all that is obviously. I think the rest of the beer's fine. The issue is one kind of a little veggie DMS-y kind of thing going on
at the end.
I think you know, maybe not as aggressive a boil for for a full 90 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, what your situation is. I haven't had a chance to listen to the most recent session.
That's okay. Yeah.
I usually save them until I'm sitting in miserable traffic, and then I put it on, and it's
something.
Oh, it's so comforting to me. I don't even mind traffic when I'm listening to the session.
Right.
Seriously, so I save them for that, because you don't do them often. You need to get rid of your off week.
Yeah, I thought about that, and then I remembered it would be work.
Yeah, there you go. And then
There was a full 90-minute boil.
Fruitiness there.
Okay.
I agree on the fruity part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pick up the DMS, but I'm not very sensitive to that. I don't have a very good palate in that sense, so I certainly wouldn't argue.
I don't really get it either.
But
I say it's a pretty decent beer.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
It really is.
You know, if you gave me a pint, I'd drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's a victory.
Honestly, Justin, I'd have to say that I revise my opinion of you as a brewer after this beer.
Okay.
I won't take it back everything I've ever said, but I mean, you know, I really am revising my opinion.
So it's more of like a modification than like, you're not doing a 180 or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to.
I think what Palmer's saying
is, punch you in the junk anymore.
He doesn't have a conclusion yet. He's in the process of changing his mind on you.
Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth.
I'll take it. This is positive stuff for me.
Yeah. Okay. It's a very drinkable beer. I mean, there are
able to drink it is what he means.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having to look for flaws instead of them, you know, smacking us in the face.
Listen, oh, no, that was pretty much smacked me in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. No, it's good. That's good lager, you know, homebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, that excellent. I'd see that in the, you know, mid-30s
or
so.
Yeah, I was going to say 34. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the highest scoring beer I've ever made, I think.
I would say
honestly, I've entered a couple beers, and 34 would probably be the highest.
I think I've had all of them.
This is
your best beer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
Good job.
Excellent. Well, I'm proud of it, and it's my first lager, and it was fun, and I might do more lagers. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like lager styles.
In terms of having things to do and a little more, you know, to monitor, lager's a little bit more fun because I'm starting at one temperature. I'm letting it free rise to another temperature. Then I'm letting it do its thing. Then I might let it rise again. There's a lot to do.
How much yeast did you pitch?
A
vial.
I did half of a vial because
half
I knew it was
half a vial of Fleischmann's or whatever.
I pitched two vials of yeast into a 2 milliliter mm-hmm. starter on a Wednesday.
A 2 milliliter. You mean 2 liter?
Thank you. No, it was definitely 2 milliliters.
Yeah. Right. And, so, a thimble.
Sorry, a 2 liter, yeah, on a Wednesday. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I let it go until Friday.
Right.
Okay. Which was my brew day.
Yeah.
But on Friday morning, I fed it again.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right, because it all kind of settled out, and it was just sitting there. So I decanted the top of it. I put more sugary water in there.
Right.
And let it go, like, just a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put it back
on the stir plate. Because I knew, by the way, I wasn't going to pitch. Even though I was brewing that day, I knew I wasn't likely to pitch until the next morning to get it down to lager temperature in my fermenter.
All that sounds good.
And so I think I did a pretty big pitch of yeast. The only thing I messed up was your recipe had called for me to pitch, I believe, I don't know, 2 or 4 degrees lower and let it free rise to that. So I don't remember the numbers, but it was something like pitch at 54.
Like 45, go up to 50.
Oh, maybe I did that wrong. No, I did. So I pitched at 45.
50 to 55, maybe.
But frankly, as soon as I put the pitch in, it raised like 3 degrees.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it went up, to 48 right there.
Yeah, right.
That was okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah.
I thought, because your article said pitch at 45, and then over the first 48 hours, let it free rise up to 48.
I mean, you don't want to raise it in the first few minutes. The point is, let a lot of the growth happen. Slower, a little more restricted, not quite as much growth, and then, go from there.
Okay.
And raise it up.
Is okay, 3 degrees, like, that big of an...
No.
I mean, degrees? I mean, would that make a difference in a lager?
It starts having an effect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, again, I think it's questionable. The more important things are, how much did you pitch? What was your nutrition like? The zinc and, oxygen and a lot of other, compounds that are needed. I think that's more critical. John and I were talking about, high alcohol beers and, what is it that makes a difference between something, smooth and easy to drink and something harsh and alcoholic is its pitching rate, its temperature, its nutrition. All your micronutrients, including zinc and oxygen. I consider oxygen a nutrient. And those are your three controls. And if you control that, appropriately, you're going to get something that's really well fermented.
Yeah.
Well, in my starter, I used the yeast nutrients when I made it. And I aerated my wort. I oxygenated the wort, obviously, before I pitched. And then I did it again 24 hours later based on a dock tip. And I know that a lager is going slower than an ale anyway, but I still was concerned. I thought I did a nice big pitch, and there was no activity.
Yeah.
Right. So 24 hours later, I oxygenated again, but then I didn't touch it after that.
I wouldn't have done that.
Okay, you just left it at the first one?
Although, if you, because here's what happens. When you, if your yeasts are not fermenting and you add more oxygen, you're delaying fermentation even further.
Oh, well, because it because
in terms
then they
of
just
aerobic versus anaerobic,
because then they just keep reproducing rather than going to work.
They keep assimilating that oxygen. So,
I
would have held off on that.
Okay,
they'll stop. Correct me if I'm wrong. They'll start. They'll uptake the first oxygen, then they'll start converting the sugars, and you reintroduce oxygen. Then they'll stop and go back to that, and it's kind of stressing the yeast out.
I never would have thought of that. I just thought they need oxygen to get going. Let's do it again.
There are British brewing traditions where you drop the beer after 24 hours to introduce more oxygen. You can get that, but generally you're looking from a yeast poor kind of situation where they don't have enough numbers or don't have enough health.
Okay.
Without that extra oxygen, I think you're probably going into this particular beer with enough yeast. The extra oxygen is.
Were you doing 10 gallons or 5?
I did 10.
So 2 vials and a 2 liter
starter for 10 gallons.
For 10 gallons, yeah, sounds like you're a little short.
Yeah. 10 gallons of lager.
So it probably didn't hurt.
I asked you that, Jamil, because I didn't want to go back to more beer for another one. I'll admit, I used the Mr. Malty yeast pitch calculator.
Right. And it says
three.
It
said three vials. But before I used the calculator, I went to the store and I bought my ingredients thinking that two was plenty. I texted you.
There's a mobile version of that you can have on your phone while you're there at the brew shop.
Get a 5-liter flask also.
Right.
Let me just say, though.
The result is good.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I know.
You know, I think it could have been a little bit better, a little less fruity. I think, you know, some of those things would have worked out if you had gone, you know, with the three and done all that.
The bigger pitch. Okay.
But in the grand scheme of things, that's a nice beer.
Excellent.
You know, okay. You know, and maybe you'd use that yeast to brew another.
Yeah.
And do a second lager right after, maybe a Doppelbock or something. Now you got a nice pitch of yeast.
Right, just sitting there.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, you could have done something really nice with that. But
okay. Well, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
But
how did you treat your water for this beer?
I didn't. And I'll tell you why.
So, like not even carbon filter? Or?
I carbon filtered my water, and I don't even think I threw gypsum in there.
Nope.
I didn't do anything. And I'll tell you why. JP makes fun of me for this all the time. It's because I didn't ask you how to treat my water ahead of time. And I had no I don't know. I have no idea. So I just didn't do anything.
Well, like you know somebody that could help you with that.
I'm just going to kidney
filter my water.
He knows like 40 people that can help with that.
What should I have done, John Palmer?
Well, gypsum would have been the wrong thing for this style.
Oh, good. So I'm glad I was extra lazy.
Yeah, for a malty style like this, Schwarzbier, you really would want calcium chloride.
Ah, okay.
If your water was deficient in calcium. You know, hey, my glass is empty, so I can't really judge the color
of
it and the clarity.
Well, it did come clear, I think.
Yeah. It looks nice. It's a nice looking beer. I think a little drop in mash pH, and therefore a little drop in beer pH would have made this go from mid 30s to high 30s to 40s in terms of the flavor expression of the beer.
A big change.
Yeah, and pH can have that kind of effect.
It can also accentuate the kind of the DMSE thing that we're talking
true,
about.
True.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know? Yeah, I mean, pH, the effect of pH on beer is to change it from mediocre to great or mediocre to poor.
I see.
You know, depending
that's why
which
I think it was better that I left it alone.
Since you're a mediocre brewer, what I'm saying is
mediocre to poor.
Yeah. It's a double. pH is definitely, and adjusting water is a double-edged sword. So if you have all the information in front of you to make a good decision on water, then you can add, you know, some calcium chloride, add some acidulated malt perhaps to bring down the alkalinity to improve to lower the pH a little bit of the mash. That would eventually trickle down to the mash, to the beer pH, which have made this beer a little bit brighter, which might serve it well. On, you know, in terms of what Jamil's saying, you have a little bit of DMS and so on due to yeast stress and other factors that might accentuate those characteristics as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you would brighten the malt character a little bit and maybe even help hide or, you know, downplay any faults.
Oh, I like that.
So
let me ask you this, Palmer. For people like me who don't know much about what to add or what things to add, and you're familiar with our fine sponsor, Five Star.
Yes.
So I did have some 5.2, I think it's called 5.2 pH stabilizer from Five Star. You're familiar with their products.
Yes.
I did, for a moment, think about adding that, and then I got busy and I forgot. Would that have been something simple to do that might have helped this beer even, or that's not what you're talking about?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
With as much as I love Five Star and everything they do, the 5.2 product, and Five Star says this, is a, I don't want to say Band-Aid, but it's a tool that you can use when you don't understand water and how water affects beer.
That's me.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can help. It depends on the situation and the beer and the recipe and the water that you're working with.
In tasting this, you don't think it would have done me any good?
I don't think it would have done you any good because of the pH of this beer rose a little bit. It's a little bit higher than I would like. I think
five-star agrees with me when I say that if you take the time to understand water, read the water book or read how to brew, and look at the residual alkalinity of your brewing water, mm-hmm. look at the in terms of the general acidity of the style you're brewing, that if you can bring those two factors together and adjust your water to bring down your pH a little bit,
I'm better off that way.
It will do a better job than 5.2. 5.2 is a panacea.
Yeah.
You know, it's a general solution for, misplaced or, off pH.
Okay.
If you can understand how pH works with your water chemistry and the beer side you're trying to brew, then you can do a better job than a single solution type solution.
Yeah. So basically, it's water adjustment for dummies, which is why I use it in every single beer.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm smart enough to understand water. I've tried to read things on it. I can't do it.
Please.
But also, I don't want to. That's an aspect of brewing.
You don't want
brewing.
To.
Yeah. Well, that's more of
you're
it.
Smart
it's
enough.
Like, it's
you
like
don't
I don't.
To,
I just
yeah.
don't. I you know I'm uninterested.
A lot of
I guess,
people don't
so.
Want to mess
right.
with it.
Yeah,
I'm
the same.
Yeah.
I'm with JP.
It's tough, right?
It's like, I've been saying this for years, and JP, I think you're saying the same thing. Is don't screw with your water. Or, get close into that section where it's okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
worry about everything else first. And then if you got the time, go ahead and start fiddling around with it.
Yeah, there's definitely a hierarchy of things that you should focus on.
Yes.
Number one should be, full boils, cooling your wort, fermentation,
temperature,
pitching
rate,
yeast, sanitation, blah, blah, blah. And then at the bottom, maybe you can start farting around with your water, but you can also totally jack your beer up.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're getting close to that point, Justin, where you should be, messing around with the water. I mean, you've got everything else, sanitation-wise.
Yeah.
I don't taste a thing.
You've brewed a very good beer.
I think, wort production, all that.
Well, let's not.
I think, and to define it just as pH, I disagree with that. I think, one of the things, the calcium chloride and stuff like that, it gives kind of a softness, a fullness to the beer.
True.
That really helps in most lager styles. Well, in most darker lager styles, anything like Schwarzbier, Bock, things like that, I think it's really important. In the crisper, like a German Pilsner and a Czech Pilsner, you want crisp dryness. Okay.
A little bit of gypsum in that case.
But in these darker lagers, I think, more of a fullness, a creaminess, people are looking for that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's any left, but if anybody wants to try some, you're free to grab us. You know what we're talking about. There's cups up here, and it's right there. And I do what it sounds like I did was what I should do in the sense of the water, which was that I paid attention to everything else. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the water part, and it was the day of, I realized that I hadn't done any research. I hadn't called anybody. I hadn't figured out what to do. So I just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that was better than putting something in that would have messed it up.
So That's true.
Feel free to check it out. You know what we're talking about. And real quick, I need to let you know about a great new sponsor of ours, Saderstein. Our good friend Don over there at Saderstein has added some free downloads to his Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, wow.
The Kickstarter page is to, it kind of, it's melding like mythology and other things.
I think it's something right up
with
Palmer's
beer.
Avenue, yeah.
Palmer would love it. And
I always think satyrs and I think sex.
If you see the images on the page, you'll still think sex.
Like goat sex or something.
You will think goat sex.
Nice. Like a centurion with, some sort of megalodon. I don't know.
Exactly. And so it makes you think of sex. And so,
did you say megalodon?
I did say
Gamera or
whatever you want. We're not reading the Adam and Eve.
Okay, we're going to anime. Manga.
Check out Google Saderstein. You'll find the Kickstarter page where you can donate. And gamers especially will love the random recipe generator there, as it bears resemblance to some charts that old D&D players would recognize.
Oh, no!
Nice.
A lot of graph paper. All right.
Get your free downloads while the campaign is still active over on Kickstarter. Just search for Saderstein, S-A-T-Y-R, Stein. You go. That's our good friend.
That sounds great.
And, it looks like a lot of fun.
The video's a trip. Yeah, Don is really into it. You, 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 he dresses up and he brings his characters to life in this little video. It's pretty cool.
I got to check it out. That sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, the first 150 people to respond here were getting a free 5 gallons of wort. We're getting a vial of White Labs yeast. They were getting a cleaning kit from Five Star. It's it's some PBW. It's some Star Sand, and there's some Super Moss as well.
Wow!
All free from Five Star and from White Labs and Country Malt, our malt supplier. They provided 1,500 pounds of their California Select. It's actually grown and malted everything in like California. It's a California
ale.
Grown and produced malt, and they've provided that for the wort giveaway as well.
So I wanted to talk about that because I know a lot of people. You sold out, right? Of the 150 people, they all got wort, right?
Yeah. They're probably we made more than that because we wanted to make sure we got the 150. So there's probably 180.
So what I wanted to know is what can we expect? What kind of beer did you design? What's the wort?
So one of the things I love how yeast makes wort different.
Okay.
And it makes different beers. And so I asked White Labs, I said, look, how about giving us, you know, mostly Cal Ale and English Ale yeast, but how about throwing a little bit of Belgian in there, a little bit of lager in there? And they're like, sure, whatever you want. They sent us a variety pack that you'll get to choose from at the end when you're leaving.
Excellent.
And so I was thinking, okay, what wort would actually fit with all of those? So it's kind of an amber, around 13-14 SRM, 10-55-ish wort with about 25-30 IBUs in it.
Okay. What kind of hops did you throw in there?
We just bittered it. So we used Warrior.
Okay.
You know, early on.
So everyone can still dry hop for their flavor.
Right. And if you're looking at using a Cal Ale yeast or an English Ale yeast and you want to, you know, do something hoppy, some dry hopping, you can make a lager with it. You can make a Belgian ale with it. I think it'd make a great, you know, Belgian pale type of thing.
Yeah.
It'll make a great English, you know.
What level did you bitter to?
About 25-30 IBUs.
Okay. Yeah.
What if you would it be really dumb if you boiled it again? Like put it, you know, then maybe a 10-minute addition or a 30-minute, like maybe to get some more.
To do a flavor addition type of thing?
Yeah.
Right. I think you could.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
no, that's actually, I hadn't thought of that. It's actually very, very clever. Very interesting.
There you go. And here, look, if like the top flies off of your carboy on the way home and you're worried that it's infected,
boil it again.
Right. I'm just thinking of mistakes I would make.
We did not add any oxygen because, you know, it would have been just oxidized because we weren't adding any yeast. And don't add your yeast until you've left the building. Otherwise, if you add the yeast, then
that
we have
to
keep
illegal.
It here.
Right.
Is the shaking on the drive home enough aeration, or should they still add direct O2?
You know, 15 minutes of vigorous shaking can actually be pretty good. That can get you, you know,
it usually
like mixing air in there.
And drive over some sidewalks on your way home and you'll get that thing vigorously shaking.
With the potholes we have in California, you're fine.
How many people here did get some wort? You got a few here? All right, good.
Yeah.
Must be 150.
A lot of people. Excellent.
That's great.
Okay. I don't have carboys, so I didn't bring one, Jamil.
Buckets. Better bottles.
I did have a bucket. I could have brought
keg.
My bucket.
There's a lot of buckets and kegs in the back there. Yeah.
Kegs is a smart way to do it
when
you're transporting.
There's some Solo cups, too, in the back.
I could just do that. Put a little Saran wrap over the top. And
individual beer.
How many vials of yeast in a Solo cup?
I do have several better bottles here.
Oh, Jay-Z, hook a brother up. I want to take some yeast home. I want to make some beer.
You mean some beer?
You know, someone wasn't throwing me under the bus earlier in the show. Right?
Well, Palmer's a dick. So.
Yeah, what I meant was F that guy Palmer.
Right.
Man, now you're talking.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for sitting down with us, guys.
Our pleasure.
I appreciate it. You're both going to the National Homebrewers Conference as well.
We'll
Can't
be there.
Keep us away.
As always, good. And we'll be there doing our thing, and I expect to see more of you at next year's in San Diego, because that'll be a lot of fun. All right, we're not done yet, because when we come back, we still get to talk to Gary Glass, the president of the American Homebrewers Association. We're going to find out about membership and kind of why you guys are here. We're going to find out about this year's Homebrewers Conference and what we can expect. And we're going to talk a little bit about legislation, because there's some stuff happening in California that's a little tricky right now, and Gary's hard at work on it. so we thought we'd give you the inside scoop while you're sitting here. Cool. So hang in there. It's the session live from Heretic Brewing Company's American Homebrewers Association Rally, and we'll be right back.
Woohoo!
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a Certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hot Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Hey everyone, it's the Fast Rack team.
Introducing our newest team member, Jess, the Fast Racking Princess.
Hey everyone, I'm super pumped to be involved, and thanks for all the Fast Rack Speed Challenge support.
The entries are pouring in, like the beers at the Fast Rack office last night.
It is super awesome.
We had some hilarious entries at the start where big burly homebrewers with massive mitts were doing 4 bottles at once.
We had to make some amendments to the rules so people with smaller hands, possibly myself, could still participate.
I can't believe you just told the brewing community you might have small hands.
Wait a minute. I wanted to have a chance at this title, too.
You're going to have one heck of a time trying to keep up with me. Did you see my video on the site?
Yes, we saw it, Mitchell.
And we've been practicing to beat you.
You can find it at thefastrack.ca. That's thefastrack.ca, as in Charlie Alpha.
Cheers for fast-racking beers.
Downtown Joe's, where everyone is welcome, especially if you like drinking and tasting beer. Head brewer Colin Kaminsky's favorite beers are the Tantric IPA and the Double Secret Probation IPA. But you'll have loads of others to choose from when you redeem your exclusive Brewing Network savings. Downtown Joe's is the best brewery destination and the hottest night spot in Napa. Colin invites all homebrewers and fans of craft beer to stop by and enjoy the great food and beer. Whether you're in the mood for riverside dining, live music, or just hanging out at the bar to meet a person of the opposite sex or a person of the same sex, Downtown Joe's has exactly what you're looking for. And now just mention the Brewing Network to receive $1 off your beer at Downtown Joe's. That's right, take $1 off every one of their great selection of craft beers, including the Lazy Summer Wheat, Golden Thistle Porter, and the Triple Dog Dare You. Come to Downtown Joe's and enjoy the laid-back atmosphere of Napa's best brew pub. Visit DowntownJoe's.com right now for current beers, the live music schedule, or to drool over their delicious menu items. Downtown Joe's, your neighborhood brew pub where everyone is welcome.
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and Bruin brother Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
You're tuned into The Session.
Because life's too short.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're still here at Heretic Brewing Company at the AHA Rally. First one we've had at Heretic, which is exciting. And next to me right now is the president of the American Homebrewers Association, Mr. Gary Glass.
Hey,
thanks
great
for being
to be here.
Here.
Yeah,
do you fly out for all the rallies now, or just whatever you can get to?
No, I don't go to all of them, but we try and get the staff to most of them. So
cool.
And we've got various people from the AHA staff that come to the rallies, but Heretic sounded like one I wanted to take.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. The beer is fantastic here, obviously, and the brand new brewery that he's put in. Mm-hmm. So the room that we're in right now, last time I was at Heretic, wasn't even part of Heretic. So the guy's growing exponentially right now. It was literally just a brew house over there, but now we got a whole extra room to grow in.
Wow, that's great.
I think what he normally does with this room, guy, he may or may not want you to know this, but he literally parks his RV in here. I'm serious. And because the guy works, he's
a
workaholic.
You've been in,
right? The guy's a workaholic, so he works all day. And instead of driving home to Elk Grove, he sleeps here in his RV. That's what he does. The guy's a maniac. All right, we got Gary Glass with us, and I wanted to talk about a few things with Gary. And one of them is I wanted to talk about the AHA and membership in general. Mm-hmm. These rallies, of course, are to invite our members out to come and hang out, but also to bring your friends and bring people who aren't members, right, and get them involved with the AHA.
Right, sure. You know, it's a great way for the breweries to give back to the homebrewing community, which they came from. You know, it's all part of really the same community. So it's a great opportunity to connect with the local homebrewers. Homebrewers, and obviously we hope to get more people involved with the American Homebrewers Association.
So, sure,
you know, and we like to have that kind of component to membership. It's like you, as a member, you get to come to an event like this, you get to see the brewery, get personal tours, and sample some really fantastic beer, and feel like, yeah, I'm really a part of this broader community.
Sure. What does membership look like right now for the AHA? Do you know how many members we have?
We have over 43,000 members now in the American Homebrewers Association.
So. That's great.
Yeah. When I started as director in 2006, we had 9,700. So we've grown quite a bit in those years.
Do you think
years.
That's 100% because of the Brewing Network or 90%?
Yeah, that's a good question, Scott.
115% due to the Brewing Network.
Has Justin told you lately how handsome he thinks you are?
Right. I do always like to say, I do joke with Gary about it, but I mean it in a camaraderie sense, too, that I feel like the Brewing Network has really grown up with the AHA. You guys clearly were around long before us. But in 2005 when we started, and I went to my first NHC in 2006, I remember what membership was like there. I also remember what the conference looked like. And it does feel like we just, our listenership has grown, your membership has grown, and to see that, it's been fun for us to do in parallel. But it kind of blows my mind that there's 40-something thousand members now since then, in a short time.
I couldn't have envisioned it when I took over as director that we were going to have this kind of trajectory. But yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that us getting together and kind of being mutually supportive.
Yeah.
I instantly recognized this is what the Brewing Network does is get people in touch with what we at the AHA do in a way that we could have never done on our own.
Well, it's just a different. You guys don't have time. You're the only homebrewers. association of this size, right?
Yeah.
They really, other than clubs, right, local clubs, which really take care of homebrewers too, as an actual organization, you're the only ones doing it, so you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we can sort of supplement content and entertainment and things like that with you guys. I think it works perfect, because we would totally screw it up if we were the organization that ran the membership.
Well, I think it is pretty cool, Gary. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but as of last month, we have actually reached 943 listeners.
That's right.
So we're on par. Yeah. You know, when Jay says parallel, you know, in percentages.
Yes. I feel like you should just round up and say 1,000. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to sell anyone short, though.
Or over. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, because clearly we're going to have some new members here today, people that signed up today because they came out with their friends. Yeah. What can they expect? What does the AHA really do for us as an organization?
Well, you know, obviously you get the main, most visible benefit of membership is Zymergy Magazine. But we also have the AHA member deal. So we've actually just broke 1,000 different businesses that are now giving discounts to members of the American Home Brewers Association.
That's great.
You know, we've got members-only content on the website, so we've got, you know, we get exclusive access to the National Homebrewers Conference, National Homebrew Competition entries. All the seminars that we do at National Homebrewers Conference are recorded, and any member, even if you haven't attended, can listen to those presentations and see the PowerPoint presentations.
See, that's great. That's such a value right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. You don't have... Now, of course, we want you to attend the NHC. I always say, because it's going to be the most fun in homebrewing that you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
But it's great that even if you can't, you can still get the information.
Well, and oftentimes a lot of these seminars will have beers to taste that go along with the information that's happening.
Yeah.
So you're not really going to get the full value, even if you're listening to them.
Yeah. We're working on the sensory simulator that will go along
with the... Yeah. Yeah, you could do the Amazon drone system and just actually fly it out to people that way.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you can have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
4% commission, but, you know.
And so why we're... And I know that the other thing that the AHA does for us is the legal side and legislation, which I want to talk about in just a minute. But while we're on the National Homebrewers Conference, let's just talk about that, too. It's in Grand Rapids this year. I was just there this last week. I had to go look at our venue. A great city. Great little beer city.
Right. Right. Exactly. I think, you know, a lot of people just don't... Well, you talk about Grand Rapids. If you haven't been there, you don't really understand what it's all about. But it really is a great beer city. Like it's not a big town, but it's a fun place to be.
Yeah.
Really, just a really nice city, right? Set right on the river, and the venue we've got for the conference is really superb.
Sure.
Like, I'm so excited to be in the convention center we're at. But it's right downtown. Walking distance to the Hopcat, probably the and in my visits at different beer bars, it's absolutely my favorite.
Is that going to be the place to be?
The Hopcat is stellar. Yeah. So I went there twice, and I was only there for 24 hours. I went to the Hopcat twice, and so we're opening our own tap house here. And I got to say, we got our work cut out for us. It looks great, it feels great. Their beer list is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge beer list. They also do a great job of focusing on local beer. They have an enormous list of Michigan beer, which when I go to a place like that, when I travel, when I go to NHC, that's what I want to have is the local beer.
Exactly, yeah. And you've got that venue, and then you've got Founders is you know, a short cab ride or, you know, a long walk.
Yeah.
I've walked it, amazing beers there, and then you've got Brewery Vivant. I don't know if you got to the Brewery Vivant, but it's a Belgian themed brewery and restaurant, and it's in an old mortuary.
Nice. Oh, I love
it looks more church-like than death-like, but
still, that's great.
Yeah, great story, and really excellent beers, and just everywhere in that part of the state, they just have, you know, so much going on beer-wise. So, the people who are coming out to the conference are going to have a really, really great time, not just with the conference, but seeing a really amazing beer city.
And drunk in a mortuary.
And getting, which we will be doing, JP, absolutely.
I want the Corpse Toucher Pale Ale, please.
Yeah. I'll have the necrophiliac, please. Thank you.
It has a little hint of embalming fluid.
Right.
Two.
So NHC, I'm excited about it this year for several reasons. And one of the cool things, so normally we have our Brewing Network anniversary party on Wednesday night. And a lot of people will come in early just for that. And it's always fun. We got a bigger venue this year. And we're moving it to Thursday night for this year, which I think is really cool. So I think kind of what's happening is there's a big welcome reception on Thursday evening at the conference, opening toast, and we get to see Charlie and you. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of ends at 7:30, and I'll tell you what you get to do. You get to walk right out onto the bus, get on a 10-minute bus ride over to the ballpark, and we actually have room to accommodate everybody. We'll probably have to cap sales at some point because we need to know in advance, but we're really excited to be kind of part of the Thursday night festivities this year at NHC.
That's going
to
be great.
Yeah. I think the dynamics are going to work out really well, and particularly being in right downtown Grand Rapids, there's an opportunity to experience the city, hopefully get to the Brewing Network party.
Yep.
But we also have the Michigan Brewers Guild is our beer partner for the welcome reception, so they're bringing in beer from all over the state.
Beautiful.
So that everybody who's going to that welcome reception is going to have this huge selection of local beers, and if you're coming from outside of Michigan, it's probably going to be a lot of beers that you're not going to be able to get otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm looking forward to that.
So, and you're going to get all lubed up before you go and
get lubed up,
which is actually it's more do of a
not
problem
wreck
for
our
us,
attendees.
Gary. Like you guys get them. Oh, a couple beers here. By the time we get them,
right?
Maybe I do. I told them we don't need security at the venue.
I think we do.
Change that.
But
the other
that?
Cool thing is, if you don't want to do the they did. Can you believe
good
it?
Job.
If you don't want to do the BN anniversary party, and that's fine. I won't ever talk to you again, but if you don't want to do that,
assuming you did before,
like Gary said, Founders is pretty close, and it's going to fit a lot of people. They have a beautiful patio area with fire pits, like big fire pits. And I noticed that on the fire pits it says "Caution: Fire is hot." So they're looking out for us. They're good people.
You know, you got to watch out for the lowest common denominator.
You always
do. You though?
Yeah.
Well, it's like that got implemented because somebody burned themselves and went, "I didn't know."
Yeah. Of course. I thought it was fake fire. Yeah. I couldn't tell.
It's a light show.
Yeah. So there's going to be lots to do every night, including Thursday. And if you just want to go downtown and not deal with our shenanigans, it's an easy walk from the hotel. I saw the whole thing. So.
Great.
All right, so the other thing I just want to talk to you about, Gary, and especially because we're in California right now, is homebrew legislation. And there's been some interesting events as of late, actually since late last year here in California.
Right. So last year, the legislature passed AB 1425, which was a well-intentioned bill. It actually allows homebrewers to donate their beer to nonprofit organizations that can then put on fundraisers and serve that beer. There was a caveat built into the bill that did not allow for home brewer based organizations to receive basically charge anything for an event where homebrew is being served. And so it essentially made events like the Southern California Homebrewers Festival and the National Homebrewers Conference illegal.
Right.
The way we have done them in the past, anyways.
Yeah, because we're rebels.
Which was a terrible byproduct of an otherwise well-intentioned law.
Right.
Which was to allow... So we do a Winter Brews Festival every year that's for a nonprofit. The nonprofit is not a beer organization. And it allowed homebrewers to come out and donate their beer to serve at our festival. We thought this was just amazing. It was great. But that's because the beneficiary of the event is not a beer-related organization. Well... The byproduct was that if you are a beer-related organization, like a homebrew club attached to the Southern California Homebrew Fest or the American Homebrewers Association, well, now it's illegal to donate homebrew. Problem.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
So we've been working with, or I've specifically been working with the California Homebrewers Association, which puts on the Southern California Homebrewers Festival, and we've got a bill that's being sponsored by Assemblymember Nastandi. And that bill it cleared its initial committee vote. I actually came out a couple of weeks ago to Sacramento and testified on behalf of AB 2609.
Okay.
We'd put out an action alert to all of our members. That's one of the benefits of being a member of the American Home Brewers Association. If there's an issue in your state, we're going to let you know about it.
Sure.
And let you know when you need to take action. We had... They had a huge number of letters written to the members of the committee.
Oh, good.
From members of the American Home Brewers Association. So it was definitely on their radar that this is an important issue. That there, you know,
yeah.
there's a large constituency. And when I was preparing for my testimony, I was looking into the numbers, and it, you know, based on our membership in the AHA and the overall population of homebrewers in the country, there's about 150,000 homebrewers in California.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of voters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they pay attention.
Yes. So when you can say something like, I'm representing 150,000 voters, many of them are in your district, that gets their attention.
Okay.
And particularly when those voters are involved and they're sending letters and calling their representatives.
Yeah. So did it pass unanimously, this first vote?
It did pass unanimously out of committee.
Okay.
It's got a kind of a minor committee hearing that it's going to go through on April 30th.
Okay.
That's just more or less a formality. But then after that, it will go to a vote before the entire assembly. So we'll be sending out an action alert
again
to members to contact your own assembly members in the state and let them know that they need to vote for this bill.
And is that the final vote? If it passes there, we've fixed the problem.
Well, if it passes there, then it goes on to the Senate. So then it goes to a Senate hearing in the Governmental Organization Committee there.
Okay.
And then goes to a vote before the entire Senate. So we've got a few steps left.
Okay.
Before it gets passed, but we're off to a really great start.
And you've got until next June to do all those steps.
Well, no, the final vote's going to have to happen before August when the legislative session ends.
Ah, okay. So it's not as if they're going to drag this out very long. It's got to get through.
No, I think once we get past this the House vote, it'll move pretty quickly.
Okay.
I think it's important to note that, I mean, you know, these are the issues that we can actually have an effect on as people. You know, oftentimes we read the news and there's such and such law that we can't do anything about, but we're really mad about or whatever. These are things that directly impact us,
yeah,
and that we can actually have a chance at changing,
sure,
and influencing. And so with the AHA sending out these action alerts, we're actually made aware of things that really do matter in our daily lives.
It's something about smaller government, your local government, that you have some more access, and even your state government is your local. You know, it's not just your city. So, and the AHA really does this for. I know that you guys have been working on all of these issues for so many years. It's always the interesting stuff for me to talk to you about, because it does feel complicated, and sometimes it feels very daunting that we don't have a voice. But time and again, you guys keep proving to us that we can change this stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
It really is. When you think about it, most people probably do not know who their assembly member is, their
right.
state assembly member or their state senator is. They probably know their federal level representatives, but
Barack
at the state
Obama.
Level, less
yeah.
Very good, JP.
Thank you.
he's our federal guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah,
the guy.
Well, he's got his own personal homebrewer. That's pretty good.
That's
we got one in the White House.
He's one of ours.
I think the point I want to make with that is that, you know, that's pretty universal. Most people don't know their state representatives, and so those state representatives don't hear from their constituents that often.
Yeah.
And so when we have an issue that's affecting homebrewers, and we get homebrewers to write into their legislators or call their legislators, email, like, those contacts go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really just takes a few before it gets on their radar, and they're like, whoa, this is an issue, because
pay attention.
You know, I've got three people who've called me about this.
Yeah.
And when we get 100 of people calling their representative, then it really makes a big difference, and it makes it very difficult for them to vote against something.
Okay. Well, you sound hopeful that obviously you can't predict the future, but you sound hopeful that we're going to be able to make the necessary changes for us homebrewers to keep being able to bring our homebrew to events.
Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, there are other issues in California that have kind of come to the surface as a result of that bill that was passed last year. And then with California legislation, it can really only address a single issue. Yeah. There's only a certain amount of code that it can affect.
Right.
And Alcohol Beverage Control has come out with an FAQ on their interpretation of what homebrewers can do in the state. And
nice.
And some of those things are, you know, they are now saying that you cannot bring homebrew onto a facility that's licensed by the state. So
okay.
Here at Heretic, we can't have people bringing homebrew here.
Right. I'm glad I didn't do that today.
They're doing this wort giveaway. They can give away the wort. You can't pitch that yeast until you get home.
Right.
Because it's a licensed establishment. A lot of homebrew clubs meet at brew pubs
bars,
or breweries or restaurants, bars. So that's now Alcohol Beverage Control is saying that's not legal.
Right.
So unfortunately, that's not something that we could address with this bill that deals with events.
So you have to go back at that later.
So, yeah, I think that's something that we'll probably want to look at because it's affecting a lot of the clubs in this state.
Oh, yeah. Again, it's another unfortunate byproduct of an otherwise well-intentioned law that then makes the ABC and local officials shine a light on, well, wait a minute, what have we been doing? And then they sort of, it's not even that they're reversing their opinion, they're actually now just forming an opinion. And if that opinion means we can't bring it into a licensed establishment, we're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that there's a couple of other things that are going on that are kind of influencing the alcohol beverage control that have just kind of been coming to the surface that I've been hearing about is that there have been cases where homebrewers have been selling their homebrew. And the federal definition of what homebrew is that you are doing it for personal use. And so, you know, essentially it's an exception to the requirement that you have a license and you pay taxes on producing an alcoholic beverage. And so when there's these instances of people who are probably just don't understand the law, they don't know that they're doing something illegal, and that's the first instance in which these alcohol beverage control people deal with homebrewers, that becomes their impression of what homebrewer is.
Right.
Who's buying it? I know it's not JP.
It's not me. No. God, no.
And I've heard of like retail establishments that are like
I can't
imagine like why would you put your license at risk?
Yeah,
But I mean I think it's just really a few instances, but that's all it takes is a few instances, and then that's the impression, and then we have to fight to say no, that's not the norm, that's not what homebrewing is about.
Sure.
So you know I think that's very important that we're aware of that, and if that comes up, if you see somebody who's like, yeah, I'm making beer in my garage, and like my neighbors really love it, and
and they're paying for it,
and they come by, and they
does anybody here want to buy Justin Schwartz beer? Anybody? Yeah. Can I get a show of hands?
Because
I don't see any hands.
Because I will totally sell it. I swear.
No one wants it.
I need some money. I need.
David, you're blowing my whole argument.
I'm sorry. What I meant was that would be wrong.
Yeah,
and that's wrong.
Yeah. If you came up to me, I would say, no, sir. No, 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 no.
I want it, but it's against the law.
Right.
All right. Well, Gary, keep up the good work on that stuff and keep us informed. Now that you are members of the AHA, if you weren't before, you're going to get these emails, you're going to get these action alerts, and they're really good even for lazy people like me because a lot of times there's like a link to the form that you sign that sends to your representative.
Oh, yeah, it has
like
everything, all the work done. You just need to apply your name to it.
Yeah, it's easier than making a post on Facebook.
It's
and
easier
so I'm
than
like, I'm in.
It's easier than actually voting in election
because
you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Or they give you the phone numbers. Like you don't even have to Google your representative.
No.
So I would
really
make
good.
The argument that Gary, I still don't know have to know who my local rep is. You guys do that work for me.
Yeah, there you go.
And I pay you $38 a year to do it.
Right.
So actually, there's a little more.
It's 43.
Yeah. Well worth it.
House representative. Blah 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 blah.
Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah, Barack Obama.
All right. Well, Gary Glass will be here for the rest of the day. I'm on the American Homebrewers Association Governing Committee. One of our new Governing Committee members, Kim Wood, is just right over there, too.
Yeah.
So if
taking the election down.
I didn't even know that.
We don't work so much on this legislation, but we speak on your behalf, too. to the AHA and try to make your voices heard. Gary often tells me that I am his favorite governing committee member. He likes to say that to me every time he sees me.
He says that every time I appear in your dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple other people. I've heard him say that too also.
No,
so.
No. He's always, he just says,
are you
God,
sure?
He always, it's something like this. Justin, oh, I don't know what the AHA would do without you on the governing committee.
Because I heard him say the same thing, but instead of Justin, it was Kim.
No, that doesn't sound right.
So.
That doesn't sound right.
No?
Jacob, you are, I mean, Justin, you are.
That's always the wrong. Jason, you're just, it's Justin, Gary.
Yeah.
That's
what
I meant.
How long
have I known you?
What did I say?
All right. Gary, thank you for hanging out with us today and being here at the rally, coming out to California all the way from Colorado. It's always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, great to be on. Always, yeah, I love being here.
It's you're from California originally,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I'm here. I brought my dad with me.
Excellent. Yes. There he is.
Yeah.
Glass senior.
He's a lot classier than you. Look at your dad.
Yeah.
He's a sharp young man over
right.
there.
I aspire, but I haven't quite reached his level yet.
He has more hair than you do.
Thanks, man.
Great, thanks.
I will say his glass is emptier, though. So you got one up on your pop.
All right, so hang out with Gary here, and the next time we see him, of course, on this staff, we'll be at the National Homebrewers Conference. We're looking forward to that in Grand Rapids. Are tickets still available for that? If anyone wants to go,
We still got tickets available. We got a great venue, lots of space, so definitely plenty of room for more people to get in.
Beautiful. All right, we'll see you there. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk homebrew with JP and Tasty McDole, who's running around here. They're going to give us their Rausch beer recipes for the next Brewcaster Challenge. Yeah. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, KeystoneHomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com.
Coupon code BNARMY.
I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeast, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering, but it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
As a brewer, you already don't settle for second best.
You want great tasting beer and you want great equipment to make it with. So don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster Mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at MonsterBrewingHardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster Mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Don't settle for second best. Get a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware.
Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable 2-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. Visit Adventures in Homebrewing at the National Homebrewers Conference this June in their home state of Michigan to see more homebrewing.org creations. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. And don't forget to use the current coupon code AIH10. Adventures in Homebrewing at home. Brewing.org.
Segmented, demented, fermented, fermented. It's the session.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks so much for hanging out with us here at Heretic Brewing Company in Fairfield, California. It's a great little event we got going on here, the American Homebrewers Association Rally. We got a bunch of members out here and a bunch of new members, and that's a lot of fun for us. I wanted to let you know about a couple things, and that is one of our fine sponsors, homebrewstuff.com. That's right, you can go to homebrewstuff.com anytime and get your homebrew supplies, and they're just wrapping up a spring cleaning event. Event right now where you can enter to win a keg carboy cleaner over on their Facebook contest. It might be wrapped up by the time you hear this podcast, but what a great event they were doing, giving away cleaning supplies and just making sure that you know the most important thing in brewing is sanitation over at homebrewstuff.com. So go check them out right now and support our fine sponsor.
And go be funny on Facebook. You get the most liked comment on their photo contest. You can win a Mark's keg and carboy. Carboy washer.
Which is, I definitely need a keg carboy washer, especially because I'm about to steal one of Jamil's Better Boys. Better Boys.
Yeah.
It's just, can we just shorten these things?
Yeah.
Why does everything have to have a long name?
I don't know.
I want a Better Boy, and and I need a keg carboy cleaner to take care of it. Well, we got the world-famous Tasty McDole sitting down with us right now, and Tasty was assigned at the next Brewcaster Challenge to compete against the other winner of the first round, JP.
That's right.
And we tasked them last week, letting them know they have to brew a Rausch beer.
That's bullshit.
Which
you know?
Tasty's so excited
He's
about.
Thrilled. Hey, here's the deal. I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And every drop is going to be poured through the Brewing Network taps at the studio.
Oh, no.
And it'll be the only beer on until it's all gone.
Oh, God damn it.
Your well, idea.
Listen, yeah. Tasty, there's a minor flaw in your plan.
What?
By the time your beer's ready, we're not going to be in the studio anymore. And apparently homebrew's not allowed at licensed establishments. So guess what? You're going to have to find another guinea pig.
See, that's even worse. I had more fuck than I thought. I mean,
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. So you guys are going to have to brew a Rausch beer.
Yeah.
JP, clearly not as perturbed about this style.
I ain't shook. Ain't shook. I'll do anything. I don't even care.
Have you ever brewed a Rausch beer before?
No.
All right, tell us about the style, JP. What is a Rausch beer?
Well, a Rausch beer technically means smoked beer in German. All right, everyone knows that. Traditionally, all beers were technically smoked at one point because as they were drying the malt and killing the malt, they were doing it over an open fire. So at one point, every beer just had a little smoked essence to it. all Rausch beers are smoked, but not all smoked beers are technically Rausch beers as well, because we have a lot of smoked porters and that kind of stuff. They're not technically Rausch beers. Rausch beers are generally more of an opaque smoked lager, similar to a Märzen or an Oktoberfest. They can range from about 1048 to some breweries make them in the high 1070s, like a smoked Bock, which would be kind of crazy. A little more hops in a Rausch beer than a Märzen, which is really just to balance the kind of smoke. Range from about a blonde in color to almost black in color, but traditionally most are amber, fitting with that Märzen Oktoberfest style. The kind of more well-known worldwide style to brew a Rausch beer is Schlenkerla in Bamberg over there in Germany. They actually make it with 100% house smoked beechwood malt. They don't use any Pilsner malt for the base.
Like Budweiser,
yeah.
Okay.
That's beechwood.
Right, right.
Oh, but sorry.
Beechwood smoke.
They may smoke it.
Right. Yeah. They use the beechwood.
I thought you were supposed to use a tiny percentage of smoke malt.
Actually, no. You can use a minimum is 20%, technically, and then up to 100%. Because what it is, it's just smoked Pilsner malt. It's a base malt.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can use 100% of it as your entire sugar addition if you want.
Can I clarify just one thing? Because we talked about this with Tasty last week, and that maybe he would tincture the smoked malt. But
yeah.
But that wouldn't be malt. You have to use 20% of your malt must be smoked malt.
Within the style guidelines, they say 20 to 100. So I think because if you go
might
lower,
have to do some actual smoked malt in your mash tun.
I've decided to do a conventional mash.
Attaboy, Tasty.
I'm all in.
Okay, good.
I think if you go really any lower than that, you might, with such a big-bodied beer, you're going to have a hard time picking up all that a lot of that smoke character in order to keep it in the guidelines of a classic Rausch beer.
Okay.
Now, you could probably enter it if you're doing it in a competition, like other smoked beer, and that could the category's wide open for that. But if you're doing the classic Rausch beer, you need to have at least 20%, or else that smoke malt, I don't think, is going to carry through as much as it needs to.
Okay.
Yeah, those recipes I was looking at seem to have a good amount of the smoke malt. So it must be lightly smoked, I guess.
The malt itself would be lightly smoked.
Yeah,
smoked.
So must
yeah see, I think a lot of it, this is all theory craft, but I think in the boil, you might drive off some of those aromatics, and you get kind of some of the deeper flavors of the smoke. But I don't know if you actually smell it and you go, oh, wow, that is 100% smoke malt.
But, I know it's going to smell like wieners.
Which is
less
nice.
Than hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I don't have any problem with real wieners.
You don't have any problem smelling real wieners?
I don't know that smell.
Oh.
I see.
It smells like onions and bagels. It's real weird.
Yeah. Right.
But Schlenkerla, so they do 100% smoke malt for their base malt. And then to get the color, they use Carafa 3, dehusked Carafa 3, and double decoction.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's the classic style. I didn't want to do a double decoction. I don't think I could pull it off for this challenge. So,
are you going to do a single decoction?
No, but I will do a step mash.
Okay.
I will step it up, and then so I have some other malts in there to hopefully try to replicate those melanoidin flavors that you can kind of get from a decoction. But so anyway, if you're doing the BJCP style guidelines for a classic Rausch beer, you're within 1050 to 1057, 20 to 30 IBUs. 4.8 to 6 ABV.
Yep.
Then you're good.
Neither of you plan on smoking your own malt, do you?
No.
No.
No. Schlenkerla, I think, is the only one in the world that does that.
One of them will be smoking on the day of, but they won't be smoking their own malt.
Isn't that what I said?
Right. What?
I was surprised the answer was no.
Right. The one of you that is going to win in the studio that day, because none of us are fans of this style, is going to be the one who figures out how to make a great tasting smoked beer. Well, I know that sounds a little bit ridiculous, but what I'm saying is one of you is going to do it. One of you is going to make it one that I go, you know what? That's kind of a good beer.
This is the problem. And I don't know, Tasty, if you had the same issue or the same thought was, since nobody in the studio enjoys drinking them, but we still have to make it to the style.
Right.
At what point do you go, okay, because if it was a competition, I would go, well, maybe I would err a little bit on the side of too much, because you want to maybe showcase that.
Stand out.
But, now think, maybe this one you want to back off.
So yeah, the winning beer I would expect is going to be a beer that uses a little bit less smoked malt. Mm-hmm. But it, then, it, like you're saying, good point. It may go out of style. It may be out of the style guideline by doing that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know.
It's I don't know that since it's such a best in show style judging that we do, and not really like a BJCP score sheet. I don't know that we're going to ding you by saying, oh, you didn't use 20% malt. Like we don't.
Malt?
You know what I'm just giving. Well, that's how I would look at it.
We don't normally have a calibration beer, but maybe in this case
we might need one.
We might need a couple of classics to keep, you know, the light beer from being
okay. That's a good point. Yeah, because you're right. If one of you just sprinkles in some smoke malt and I go, "There's your winner," that would be unfair.
I
want to
blend it back to like Bo Pills or something.
I'll light a match, put it out in the beer, and hand it to you. It'd be great.
Now, what are the different options for smoked malt? Now, I always say on this show, because it's just a common one, that peat malt. I just hate it. I have an allergic reaction to it. Almost. It's just bad. What other options are there?
The only other option is the Rausch malt, beechwood smoked.
Okay.
And so the peat malt.
I thought there was now like, you know, your cherry smoked or this smoked.
I'm sure you can, but it, in this context, we're speaking of, you know, as we say a lot on the show, if you want to make a traditional style of beer, you use the ingredients from that country. So a lot of these malts are Weirmann, from the Weirmann Malt House, and just like the Weirmann Rauch malt is smoked with beechwood.
Well, okay, so you make an excellent point. That makes sense, that you guys should be making it with the malts from the country.
Right.
Which brings me to my next point, and that is that, of course, we have a sponsor for this section of the Brewcaster Challenge, and those are the fine people over at BSG, and they're the proud ingredient sponsor of the Brewcaster Challenge, and they provide homebrewers, and by the way, craft brewers, of course, with high-quality malts direct from the source. And it's all the European malts that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Right? So your Weirmann, your Rahr, your Simpsons, it's all coming from BSG. So that's what you guys are going to use in your beers.
100% Weirmann malt.
Okay. So you're not going to use like cherry stinky alderwood smoked malt because it's not a traditional whatever.
Right. We want to make the classic Rausch beer style to the BJCP guidelines and to how we can taste it over here.
Which you can't do without European malts.
Yeah. I'm not going to use like a two-row. You know, like an American two-row to make this beer. It's going to be German pills.
Okay.
And German smoked malt.
All right. Yeah. So BSG is getting you your ingredients so that you guys can do them to style.
Yeah.
All right. JP, do you have a recipe for us today?
I do have a recipe.
Okay.
So, like I said, it's a little convoluted, but, you know, I'm hoping that it, you know, gives me a representation of a double decoction without actually wasting all my time.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of important rating to do, and I don't know if you know, but I've finished, you know, SOO, and I'm trying to get my 538 tier, so I'm really trying to I need to get all my sigils.
It sounds important.
It really is, yeah.
Remember earlier you were like, everything's too long, SOO, too short.
Yeah,
I think lengthen
short, right?
it a little bit, will you?
Well, because I don't know what the acronym means. All I know is I have to run SOO. Okay. 9 pounds of German Pilsner, 4 pounds of German Munich, 6 pounds of German Rauch malt, smoke malt. This is for 10 gallons.
Okay.
1 pound of German Carapils, 1 pound of Vienna, 2 pounds Cara Munich 2, and 6 ounces of dehusked Carafa 3.
Okay. Why dehusked?
Because you don't want the kind of astringency that you can get with a higher kilned malt that still have the kind of husks on them. You just really for color.
Did you make this recipe, JP?
I found a base recipe online and tweaked it out a little bit,
All right.
It's from Brewing Classic Styles.
Found it online at brewingclassicstyles.com, but
he refuses
to say that that's where he got it from.
No, this is
not the Brewing Classic Styles recipe.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, why? Because, Tasty, you used it?
I'm reading it.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah. Thank God you didn't use that.
39.
Are you going to use Jamil, like as a base, Jamil's Classic Styles recipe?
Evidently. I went to the AHA, and you guys are all members, so this is cool, AHA website where they list the winning recipes for the national competition for every year. And 3 of the years in this smoked beer category were Rausch beer. So I picked one from like 2004.
Oh, way back.
And which I thought it was good then, it'll be good now.
And, sure.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, said, yeah, that's like, I like that. That sounds good. I think I used black malt instead of Carafa to get the dark color.
Okay.
Then I looked at the Jamil recipe and go like, it's the same thing. So the guy who won probably used the
classic style.
Classic styles recipe. So in a roundabout way, I think I'm using that.
Well, from 2004, it wasn't around. Right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
wouldn't when
have
was
been.
It? Yeah. Well, Jamil must have stole it from him and put it in the book.
There you go.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Yeah.
That's
you know, neat. It's funny. So, you know, I was talking to Tasty a little bit about his recipe. I go, well, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm going to throw you under the bus real fast. And he goes, well, I'm waiting on this on a home brewer to give me a recipe. And I go, oh, you don't want to make your own? He goes, well, I remember having it, and I didn't puke, so it must be pretty good.
Well, I'll take that as a qualification.
That's something.
Yeah. I go. Not puking is today's drinkable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember the look on Tasty's face when we announced Rausch Beer is the style. It distinctly was, I'm about to puke.
Right.
He looked sick.
Well, you guys are mean. You picked these styles because you know I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you
mean? We are mean. Well,
you are.
I'm not going to lie. We're like, what would be fucked up?
Yeah.
We're like, Rausch beer.
You guys really should drink the beer.
Yeah.
I like Rausch.
It's out of your wheelhouse.
When we test
that's
it,
okay,
the thing.
That's true.
We should have full pint glasses.
And that we have to drink.
We have to drink during the show when we do the judging.
Now, let's be honest, though. It's not just being mean. Part of the Brewcaster Challenge is that we want you guys and all, like, I had to brew a lager. I never brewed a lager. I'm not saying that it's a crappy, like we're making you brew a crappy beer, but it's trying to find something outside of your wheelhouse is hard to do, Tasty.
Yeah, right.
So we thought, what have we never tasted from Tasty? And Rausch beer came to mind. So,
no, I get the idea.
And it's because you're going to learn something and we're going to learn something, and you might learn further that you don't like them, but you might also learn something else.
Right.
Not only that, I'm wondering if there are ways to brew these sort of beers that everyone thinks they don't like in a way that is likable, and maybe you're just not attempting it. And that's
well,
right?
That is the thing about homebrewing that is attractive to a lot of people. Is you have two ways to brew. You can either brew to style, or you can brew to what you like.
Yeah.
And this is a way that you can kind of mix those things. If maybe you don't think you like a beer style, maybe you don't think you like smoke beer, but maybe the base recipe is good, and you can add a little smoke and you know whatever.
And you've never tried it,
right?
All right. Well, I'm excited about what happens next. What are you guys going to brew? Do you know? Have you guys figured out your...
I got the Beer Fest next weekend, probably the weekend after that, or weekday after that sometime.
After Boonville. Late next week for you? I might make it to Boonville this year. I'm still considering.
Have you got a ticket?
I don't need it.
He's Justin from the Brewing Network.
Do you know who I
am? Yeah.
No, I mean, I need extra tickets for my entourage.
Oh, you need tickets too? I talked with Fal Allen, the brewer over at Anderson Valley. That's where the...
Yeah, I'm in communication with him.
I talked to him about us doing a show there on Friday night.
Oh.
And if we do a show from the tasting room, we can have all the tickets we want. So we can figure
it out.
Right. But I might need... JP doesn't do beer festivals.
I would have gone to Boonville if I was invited. But
I could be your colleague.
You're invited. I don't even know if I'm going.
Well,
you're invited.
I have plans on Saturday.
No, you don't.
I do. It's AHA Big Brew Day.
Uh-huh.
I got to go brew.
Oh.
Where?
I'm brewing up with the Grog Tag guys up in Sacramento. We're doing a big, giant 50 gallons of beer.
You could skip out on that.
And, I don't think I can.
You have a first career here at the BN.
They might actually pay me to do it, so you know how it goes.
That's tough to compete against.
I want to point out the textbook nature of the last JP comment of, I would have gone if I was invited.
Yeah.
Nobody called me to hang out with me yesterday.
Nobody did.
Nobody asked me to go to Boonville either. I'm saying right now we might be going to Boonville.
But we told you about the festival. That was the invite.
All right. Well, so my point was, the same actually, Tasty, I'll need a co-host. So you're going to have to sit and do the show.
Okay, well.
Okay.
For a while.
Now you know
ahead of
time.
I have my own event there, you know. It's like.
Well, it's Friday, though. It'll be early Friday afternoon.
Oh, then
is what we'll do.
Well,
and
if you do it Friday, I can go, because then I'll just drive down to Sacramento after that.
Drive back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It works, too.
We'll figure it out. The point is, I might go to Boonville this year, and I haven't been in years, and I'm excited. I'm kind of excited to go back. Bring out the bus, you know?
All the hippies will fall all over that thing.
Sleep up in the Lido deck. Great.
Yeah. If I find you in the tasting room, Tasty, and I'm like, yeah, we're doing the show, don't act surprised. This is us telling you.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I didn't know.
I just found out a minute ago that I was supposed to stay sober enough to
No one said anything about sober.
You might have to pin a note to him, like in elementary school, where they go, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm supposed to tell you, Mom, that I have a field trip tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tasty, when has sober ever been a requirement at the Brewing Network?
Please.
Ever. Once. The only person that's a requirement when we do these events is Doc. Like when we go to live events at NHC and stuff, I go, Doc, do me a favor.
Take it easy.
only have eight before the show. Okay?
Right.
He's the only one.
Please
be
able to speak.
can you try it right now? Give me one complete sentence.
You're right. I've never done the show sober, so what am I talking about?
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, I know that these guys use it, and you can use it too when you're developing your recipes. Go over to beersmith.com. You get your free 21-day trial of the Beersmith recipe software. It's great. You can use it on PC, and you can use it on Mac. And it's a great way to design your Rausch beer recipe. I did my Schwartz beer there. And you don't have to take my word for it. Just go to beersmith.com, download it today, free 21-day trial.
Does Beersmith have a Rausch beer tab? Or do you have to, like, write them? Like, hey, no one's ever tried to brew a Rausch beer.
They have Rausch beer recipes.
Sure they do, yeah.
The other cool thing about Beersmith is they have a huge recipe database. And, yes, you will find Rausch beer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you'll find tons.
Oh, a bunch of them.
All right, well, we're going to wrap things up is what we're going to do. And for those of you listening at home, stay tuned after the break because we're actually doing our Logic Home Brewer of the Week right after the break. So you'll get to hear that at home. For those folks here with us at Heretic Brewing Company, thank you for coming out and supporting the AHA and Heretic.
Give us a round of applause. Let your presence be known, guys. Yeah.
It's nice, give yourselves a round. It's nice to see you all out here. Thanks for putting up with us, and thanks for coming out. And Tasty, thanks for staying partially sober.
I'm pretty good shape.
Yeah, I like it.
But can you drive?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So those of you at home, stay tuned for the Logic Home Brewer of the Week, and we'll be back. Are we back next week?
Yes.
I think we're back next week, right?
Yes, we are.
All right. Stay tuned. The Hop Grenade is opening soon, and a lot of things coming up. Tickets for BNA 9 are going on sale Tuesday. Actually, the day that you're going to get this show, they will be on sale to the general public. All right.
Base Camp Brewing Company in studio next week.
Excellent.
Yes.
It's the session. See you later.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
This is a public service announcement.
Hey, dude, I think there's...
What's wrong?
You don't look so good. There's something wrong with your beer. It's making everyone sick.
Don't let your beer make your loved ones ill. Proper cleaning and sanitation is the key to avoiding puke on your shoes.
But I used an all-in-one.
Cleaning and sanitizing cannot be done in a one-step process. No cleaner can sanitize, and no sanitizer can clean. The amazing chemists at Five Star Chemicals have your solution. Clean with BBW and sanitize with Star Sand.
Fantastic!
Your friends and loved ones will thank you. Five Star products are available at fine homebrew shops near you and online. Put your best beer forward with Five Star Chemicals. Your one stop for the cleanest two-step solution.
We already know you like beer, but do you like history, science fiction, gaming, fantasy? Award-winning home brewer Don Dem is writing a book just for you.
Cedar Stein is about brewing with your imagination. I wanted to bring people together from all of my hobbies. The result is a how-to DVD and a cookbook with recipes like the Dwarven Stout, Brew 42, and my favorite, the Brown Dragon Ale made with habanero peppers.
Cedar Stein is a recipe book and a how-to DVD. The only way you'll be able to get it is to fund Don's Kickstarter campaign. Pledge $5 or more and get some great rewards while funding a truly unique idea in homebrewing. Cedar Stein Homebrew. Find it on Kickstarter and pledge while you can.
Thank you so very much for pledging your support to Cedar Stein Homebrew.
Cedar Stein Homebrew. Kickstarter ends May 4th.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read. Reed your way to better homebrew.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for your close-up.
Now, the BN Homebrewer Spotlight, brought to you by Logic.
Yes, indeed it is. And today's homebrewer of the week is Chad Hudson. And I'm looking at Chad's setup. First thing I see is a Subaru and snow on the ground. You're in a cold climate where you live.
Michigan.
Does that send you off towards more sort of cold, you know, lager brewing? Does the weather influence how you brew?
Not me personally, no. To be honest, I'm probably the least I know of people that isn't influenced by the weather. I do mostly Belgian beers, to be honest, and I mean, I'll brew a Saison and drink it in the winter or you know, whatever I feel like, just depending on what I feel like. I've actually only done a couple lagers. It's not really a scene that I've broken into that much yet. They're just not really my favorite beers at this point.
I do want to get to your setup because you do have a setup that allows for lagering if you wish. And it's a three different compartments, your fermentation space. And this is, you know, close to home for me, you know, because that's pretty much the next step that I need to really step up my brewing game is going. Because you did mention that you were using the wet T-shirt around the carboy, which is still the stage I'm at. But I think I need to build myself one of these things. So can you just describe what you did?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I started out probably like most people do. I found a larger size dorm fridge on Craigslist for like $40 or $50, something like that. I then built a controller for just that fridge and actually did the one lager that I have done in the fridge before I even did any sort of build outside of the fridge. So I built the thermostat that basically everybody else on the forum builds for $30 or $40. And then I said, you know, I hit this hobby pretty hard, pretty fast. So one spot to ferment was not going to cut it. So I did some searching around on the internet, pulled a few pieces here and there, and came up with what I came up with, which was basically to take this fridge, put it on top of a tabletop, and then build a frame out from it, essentially the same dimensions as the fridge as far as width and height, and then lengthwise. I can't remember exactly how long it is, but I want to say it's probably close to 7 feet, six or seven feet, maybe 8 feet, including the fridge space. So essentially at first I was using it the same exact way where, once I framed it out with some cheap wood from Lowe's, I then took their insulation board and sealed it all up. So, you know, it was a real cheap way to do it, just buy the stuff and frame in around the framing with the insulation, and then took some more of that insulation board and cut it down to just essentially divide that long chamber that I had been made into different compartments.
So did you remove the refrigerator door?
Yep, I took all the door off.
And then you gave yourself one big door or two doors? It looks like you got some of that insulation board on hinges.
Yeah, I did just put it on hinges. Actually, the whole front side is just broken into two doors, so it opens up and you are able to access the entire length of the chamber.
So that fridge's compressor does all of the cooling you need for that whole thing?
Yeah. I took the those partitions that I made, and I found some 120-volt fans on Amazon. They're actually very strong, way stronger than I expected them to be. But basically, so each chamber divider has a fan at the bottom that blows into the next chamber and then a fan at the top that blows back into the fridge. So basically it's like a air recirculation for that chamber. So the first chamber, which is essentially inside the fridge, is where I put whatever I'm doing the coldest. And then it goes into the next chamber, and that has a separate thermostat just right on the carboy. So I'll just, you know, whatever needs to be a little bit warmer than that, just so it's easier and makes more sense that way. It'll kick on those fans and do a recirculation. And then there's one more divider that does the exact same thing. So it's essentially three chambers, and they're able to basically just kind of cascade the temperature difference throughout. And it's actually worked very well, way better than I expected it to, considering it was really my first time dabbling in this sort of thing. So everything stays right within, you know, plus or minus half a degree.
It's quite an ingenious little setup. And it looks like it was pretty much the most inexpensive way you could really have this much space to ferment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually kind of, me and my buddy went in on a pretty big 27-gallon Blickman conical, so now we're breaking into, you know, like a do-it-yourself immersion glycol chiller for that, and I'm like, oh my god, I should have just built a walk-in fridge or something based on what I did with the first chamber.
So do those fans that circulate, does the thing have the circulatory power? Could all three compartments be logger temp?
You know, I know that the first could, but I haven't even tried with the second one. I think that it would probably be fairly inefficient energy-wise if I had to take a guess, because, you know, as you know, there's not a ton of thermal mass with just moving air around like that, and I know that it's not perfectly sealed, so I think you'd be losing a lot of, you'd be overworking the fridge and losing a lot of air, but it's definitely something that I might give a shot.
I notice you have, like, little LED puck lights, it looks like, up on the ceiling, as it were. Is that what heats it up? Is there any heat source, or it's just cooling?
Now there is, because when I took those pictures and built it, it was in summer. So throughout winter, I realized that I'm going to be needing to add some heat. So what I ended up using for that is I went to the pet store and found these little black reflector-type bulb holders, essentially. I can't think of the name right now, but I don't know. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They put them in, like, reptile cages, and they make bigger versions at the hardware store. They use them for heating up plants, I think, too, for hydroponics and stuff like that. So I got the pet one because it looked like it was less likely to catch on fire and, you know, burn things. It had some special coating on it, and then
But if you did that, you could have been part of the brewing disaster segment. I mean,
I don't want to be part of that segment. Probably wouldn't be great. So I ended up using infrared bulbs, like, for heating reptile tanks, because I figure that's not going to throw the UV rays that I'm going to have to worry about, and I haven't had any off flavors in that process, so it's worked pretty well.
Tell people where they can see it, because you've done quite a bit of passing along of this info of how you did this to your fellow homebrewers there. So where can people, like, see pictures and more of a description?
I actually do have, I did a pretty big post on it when I first made it, I think on Homebrew Talk.
If you search Homebrew Talk, my large fermentation chamber on the cheap.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Something along those lines, yeah, you'll find it. And there's lots of discussion and lots of smoke being blown up the ass of Chad for how cool it is. So it's worth checking out. So you did say a few other interesting things in your note to me that I wanted to address. So one of the things was that you marveled at how far it was to go with brewing in such a short amount of time if you just use the right tools, and you have right in quotations. So could you just expound upon that?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, the Brewing Network has been huge. You know, like, while I'm mowing the lawn or doing whatever I'm doing, it's a great way to kind of learn about stuff that I wouldn't otherwise be learning about when I'm just, you know, doing chores and things like that. So really, you know, figuring out which shows kind of tailor to you, what you're trying to get out of it and all that good stuff. And then obviously the internet is extremely powerful these days. Anything you want to learn about, you can just go online and search. And as long as you know, with a cautious eye, look at what you're reading, you can a lot of the times get through a lot of the junk and get to exactly what you want to learn. And then all the books have been great. You know, obviously everybody is always talking about Palmer's, you know, homebrewing book and the new series of hops and yeast and water. I'm just in the yeast one right now. It's crazy interesting. So, you know, the tools are definitely out there. I've been homebrewing for less than a year, and I feel like I can find whatever information I need to if I just take a few minutes and search the right places.
What got you started a year ago?
We moved into a house. I graduated within the last couple of years, and we were in an apartment. I had done a couple extract batches with my brother a couple of years ago, but, you know, I barely remembered anything about it, so it was really starting fresh. But when we moved into the house, I knew that this was something that I was just going to want to start doing. And like all of my hobbies, it just kind of built like a snowball, and I've been hitting it full force for just about a year now.
Give me another example of your obsessive hobbies other than brewing.
That Subaru that you saw in my driveway.
Oh, yeah? That's your baby, huh?
Yeah. Cars are a big hobby of mine. I guess right now that's pretty much it. You know, work like anybody else.
What do you do?
I am a pharmacist. I actually run a compounding lab in Michigan, so we do some pretty cool stuff.
Has that job been instrumental in scoring you equipment or knowledge or both?
Knowledge-wise, it's been very huge. Equipment-wise, yeah, I've been able to procure a couple sweet stir plates that are way more heavy-duty than you really need for yeast starters. School-wise was the biggest thing. You know, I took a lot of chemistry classes, and really when you get down to it, this is really similar to doing chemistry labs. So a lot of the stuff that I would have had to learn a lot about water chemistry and, you know, learning how to deal with pH and things like that, I was already pretty much primed to do those kind of things. So I've been able to concentrate on the things that I don't really know anything about. I think that's helped a lot.
Are you married?
I am. I have a very understanding wife. We got married in February.
Understanding, or so not into it, but just kind of lets you do your thing?
She loves beer, and we're both great at being independent, so she doesn't mind too much, you know, when I'm spending days at a time, or not days at a time, but, you know, a full day doing this.
Right.
That picture of my brewing setup is actually a thing of the past. Me and my dad ended up building a brewery in my basement, so now I'm at least able to be a little bit closer to her on the brew days. We now have a full, it's basically a two-tier, but set up in the basement with a hood and all that stuff and a sink, so it's streamlined the whole process a lot more, and I'm able to be not outside the house a day at a time on the weekends.
I see. So, yeah, you have the garage and the basement.
Exactly.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I know. It is nice.
Another thing you mentioned is that your feedback is limited to your friends and family, but you did say that they're very critical about beer, but that you don't really competition brew. You've never had a BJCP judge taste your beer. Is that true?
That's true. All of my beer has been, you know, to friends and family, and we are going to the homebrewer convention because it is kind of right in our backyard this year, and not super involved with our local club, but I will be having some of our beers up there for the club night.
How come you think you haven't been interested in competition? That seems to be such a given for folks that are as deep in the hobby as you are.
I guess I don't really know. I've been really happy with the beer so far, and it's not that I have like a great palate or anything like that. I'm building it. I think that it's just a matter of maybe wanting to make sure that I'm happy with it before I even send it out to everybody else that's going to critically judge it. I don't know. I think it's more of a time thing, and just I haven't really been there yet.
Do you think that this is a hobby where you could sort of stagnate's the wrong word, but do you think like you always have to be growing and getting the next new piece of equipment or joining a competition? Or do you always have to be taking a next step, or do you think you could just get into a rhythm of like, I have my house set up, I brew a few house beers, have my friends over, and it just kind of stays there for years?
My experience is that it can be whatever you want it to be. I right now am happy not, you know, submitting a bunch of beers for competitions. I'm happy that I have people that really enjoy the beer so far, and they keep coming back to have the beer and speak highly of it. But that being said, I'm the type of person that I know this has really grown into a passion for me, and I'm going to want to grow. I mean, we didn't buy a huge conical for no reason, so I think that there are a lot of people out there, though, that know that all I'm trying to do is, you know, make some good beer and for myself and my friends, my family, and be happy with that.
I do want to know, lastly, about these tap handles. It looks like they're on the side of a kitchen cabinet.
They are.
Do you feed your beer from your basement up to your kitchen?
I do.
Oh, this is great. So what he has is just it looks like pantry cabinets right there in the kitchen, and he's got his chalkboard with all the styles, and right on the side of the cabinet, boom, there's just, what is it, 5 tap handles here?
I have 5 right now, yeah.
In the kitchen. Now, that is an understanding wife, if ever there was one.
It's a very understanding wife. She, yes. She looks at it as a piece of decoration. And
It's beautiful.
It's really turned out very well. I haven't really played around too much with cooling the lines. It's only a 10-foot draw. So if I pour out an ounce the first time, you know, that day that I'm pouring that beer, I'm pretty much good to go. That being said, as I said, we're working on doing something with a conical and an immersion chiller, and I got a huge aquarium chiller that I'm going to use, so I'm thinking about maybe cooling them in the future.
Great. Well, you know, it sounds like I'm not going to get to have your beer at NHC as you don't enter competitions. You're just going to you're going to bring some over in a backpack or something for us.
Well, are you guys going to be at the Homebrew Conference?
Oh, you know it. Well, not only are you going to be there, you got to come to our 9th anniversary party there on that Thursday night at the ballpark. We're renting out the minor league ballpark there.
Really?
Yeah, and we're going to do on-field activities and all kinds of food and drink. There's no pro night this year on Thursday, so it's just our anniversary party. So I'm going to expect to see you there with some of your wit beer.
I will do that. Absolutely.
All right, cool. All right, well, that was Chad Hudson, and this is Logic's Homebrewer of the Week, brought to you by EcologicCleansers.com. Use their Straight A and their One Step. They are simply the best cleaners on the market, and they're non-toxic and biodegradable, and they're good sponsors and good people. EcologicCleansers.com. Chad, thanks, baby. We'll see you in Michigan.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Catch you soon.
Guys do too. JB's an asshole. Sometimes he's real funny. We laugh at his wit. The Yanni just wishes he could brew worth a shit. JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy.